Hey folks, and welcome to another episode of the Podcraft podcast. This is the show all about podcasting, everything from interview skills to equipment and everything in between. I'm Colin Gray, as usual, and joined by Matthew McLean.
How a splendid day to you, sir.
Indeed.
And a splendid day to the listener too.
Indeed, yes, splendid. So this time around, we're doing more listener questions. We've got one question from the splendid, magnificent Dan Brew, and also a comment back from Natalie Silverman as well. So we've been getting a few of our responses to the question we put in our emails, which is if you sign up for our email list, you get something out within a few emails, which asks you to contribute to Podcraft. And I can tell you on Podcraft as well to do it, I suppose. If you fancy getting a 2 or 3 minute clip on the show, just talking about your show, about basically what's working for you in terms of monetization, promotion, equipment setups, that type of thing, then you can send it into us. Send it into info@thepodcasthost.com and we can play it on the show. But we've got one from Natalie about the fertility podcast this week, which is talking about her experience and what's working for her. So anyway, shall we jump into the questions?
Yes, let's do so.
Okay, so Dan's question. So we had a couple of good questions from Dan, a two-parter here. My first question is, says Dan, I've been told that I'm a perfectionist in many areas, and I'm finding it difficult to start the podcast process until I have all of the perfect technical sound experience, editing knowledge, and technical setup created. I currently have a MacBook and a Yeti mic I just picked up. What are your thoughts on waiting to start versus just jumping in? And his second part ties into it, so I'll tell you that just now as well. Second question is, how do you find your voice? It's a tedious and very self-reflective process that has me spinning quite a bit. How much was trial and error versus you just knowing? All right, so a couple of good things. We're asked those kind of things quite often, aren't we, really?
Yeah, it's a big issue, isn't it? The perfectionist angle. Perfectionism versus progress is always the way I kind of think of it, because all those times that you're thinking that you're working by getting all this stuff in place, it's not half as effective as actually just going ahead and doing it. And if you're new to podcasting, you're not going to be, unfortunately, exceptional straight out the gate. It's going to take a bit of practice. You could read all the books, listen to all the tutorials, watch all the videos. Nothing comes close to just experience, does it?
Yeah, and I think as well, practice isn't good practice, if that makes any sense. Because if you're not doing it for real, if you're just practicing walking around in your house, or even just doing a practice recording that you know is not going to be going out live, it just doesn't count, because you just don't have the pressure to really learn, to really reflect from it. It's only when you're putting stuff out live that you're really practicing. I mean, practice on your own does help. It's useful, but it's not what's going to help you improve a lot. I think the real exposure to actual listeners, to real people, that's what really forces your learning, I suppose. And it brings feedback as well, doesn't it? It's like, that's when people start getting back to you and saying, this is what I enjoy, this is what I like. It's this is the good bits of the episode, this is the bad bits of the episode, and then build on that, take out the good bits.
Yeah, you want to get yourself in the game for a number of reasons. I mean, even, it comes down to things like your podcast reputation, how long you've been out there, how long you've been in iTunes. I know we talk about, and I'm maybe contradicting myself, don't obsess over the iTunes
from
stuff.
From last year,
You get your show on iTunes, it's going to rank higher than shows that are newer than it. And search is important. Things like SEO, you want to get yourself in the game, because every day that you're not launching, you're not here, you're sitting on the sidelines. People are taking you over, bypassing you.
It's a good point, actually. It's something that a friend of mine, Andy Brown, you've met Andy, haven't you, a few times?
Andy.
He runs a show called Triple Your Clients. And you can find it over at tripleyourclients.com, I think. But he said to another friend of mine, actually, when she was looking to launch her podcast, and she was procrastinating, it was exactly the same thing. She's a bit of a perfectionist too. And he said to her, well, what are you going to do? How will you feel if somebody launches the exact idea, the exact podcast, the exact concept that you're looking to launch in the month or so leading up to when you're finally getting perfect? And she said, I'd feel terrible. It would be a complete, it would be a total kick in the stomach. I'd just, yeah, So yeah, that forced her. Actually, next week she launched her show based on that. So that was really good. Yeah, so think about it. How would you feel if somebody, in the meantime, launched something that was just what you're looking to do? Would it make you feel bad? Well, if it does, then get it out there. What about the finding your voice stuff? Have you got any tips on finding your voice? Is there any kind of standard stuff you tell people when they ask you about that?
It's a funny one, isn't it? Because when you start, when you get into like recording your own voice, and you know, it started for me back a good few years ago now when I went and studied radio. So yeah. It was completely new to me sitting down in front of a microphone and watching it record.
Yeah.
And your immediate reaction is to become really formal because we're used to seeing presenters on the TV, you know, news presenters and that. Yeah. So you immediately, you become really formal. You maybe talk like you don't actually talk in real life.
Exactly.
One of the most useful exercises that I found myself doing, because I would listen back to episodes and think it's fine, but it doesn't really sound like me. So say I'd be like out one night just sitting in the pub with one of my friends and maybe I'd be explaining something and I was conscious of like, how do I sound as I'm explaining this?
Because
it's completely natural. You want your podcast, or most podcasts anyway, to sound like you're just chatting to a friend, the listener's your friend. So just being conscious of like, how do I sound as I'm telling this story, this wee anecdote?
Yeah.
And then trying to think, well, how do I then go and replicate that when my friend's not sitting there, I'm not in the pub, I've now got a microphone. And again, it just comes through practice, doesn't it? And being aware of that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's something that I have done myself. I've encouraged other people to do, and I think it works quite well, is actually just to commit to sharing a few episodes with some good friends. So I don't do this enough, to be honest, but I feel it's something that came up at the conference I was at last week, actually, CMA Live. It was a big theme of the conference was finding your voice, being more honest, being more authentic and stuff like that. And I think on the website, on the podcast host, we still haven't quite, well, I think you're good at it. I think I'm good at it when we write, but sometimes we can kind of fall into, you know, you fall into that trap of wanting to sound professional, knowledgeable, all that kind of stuff. Like, make sure people, you know, it's kind of a lack of confidence in a way, I suppose. You're wanting to make sure you sound trustworthy. So you end up writing in slightly bigger words or more convoluted sentences than you would normally. And I think I don't do that enough. But see, if I have done it once or twice in the past, committed to, before recording an episode, I said, right, I'm going to share this with a friend of mine. And while I was recording that episode, it suddenly, because I was aware of the fact I was going to share it, I suddenly became a lot more aware of how I spoke. I was a bit too formal or a bit over, you know, egging the kind of, I don't know, the authority, all that kind of stuff, like just trying to sound more authority. I don't know what it is, but you know, when you're trying to make up for the fact you're not quite confident or something, you start to feel anxious because you think, this is going to make me sound like a right tit in front of my pal. He's going to listen to this and go, what the hell? That's not you.
Yeah.
So I think even just committing to doing that and then sharing it with them. So the commitment to do it helps you think about how you speak in the first place. And then when you give it to them, then they can give you feedback on, this didn't sound like you at all. Why are we speaking like that? Why are we saying this? I've never heard you say that in real life. So I think that's quite a useful exercise as well.
Just one thing to add there as well. You're saying about the website and maybe, you know, there's times where you think it doesn't really sound like us.
Yeah.
So you've got to ask yourself, if I'm putting out my podcast in completely my own voice, might that put a few people off? And the answer is maybe it will.
Yeah,
but the people it doesn't put off will probably like you much more for it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I always say to people, like, having a smaller audience isn't necessarily a bad thing because it's a more loyal audience.
Yeah,
so, like, you'd rather have much fewer people who really, really like you than a large group of people who think, oh, he's all right, but they've soon forgotten about you because you just a bit generic and trying to please everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. Totally agree. Better 1,000 people that love you than 10,000 that are pretty ambivalent to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, cool. I hope that helps you, Dan. I hope that helps answer your questions, Dan. Do get in touch. Let us know how you're getting on with that, because it sounds like you're pretty early on in your journey. So it'd be cool to hear when you get the show out there, how you did find your voice, like whether you did a few exercises at the start, thought you were cracking it, or whether it took you a few episodes to get in there. So do get in touch again. Anyone else too, if you're out there listening and you want to send us a question, send it in to info@thepodcasthost.com, or you can tweet us any short ones at thepodcasthost. host, and we'll include it on future shows. We'd love to get more, lots more listener questions in future. So now I'm going to play our comment from Natalie. So this is from Natalie Silverman from the Fertility Podcast. And this is her thoughts around what's working for her, what's not working for her, generally how it's going with her podcast just now.
Hello, I'm Natalie and I host the Fertility Podcast, which launched in September 2014 and I've just published my 85th episode. It's for anybody who has found their route to parenthood hasn't been straightforward. So they're not able to get pregnant naturally and possibly having to have fertility treatment or consider other ways. I get about 300 to 400 listeners every episode. I release an episode weekly. I get new listeners through iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Acast. The podcast is on all sorts of platforms. I also have a Patreon page. I use Facebook and Twitter mainly, and I'm just starting with Instagram. And as far as monetizing the podcast, I've got a Patreon page, which I need to do more with. But I'm delighted to say I've now got two sponsors who have signed up for 12 months. And I'm currently in talks with some other sponsors about getting them on board. And I'm also starting to create bespoke content for other people as the Fertility Podcast, because it's all kind of relevant subjects. So if you want to find out more, just go to thefertilitypodcast.com.
Thanks very much, Natalie. That's great. So yeah, if you have a similar story, or not a similar story, if you want to give us a similar type of bit of feedback, let us know what's working for you in terms of monetization, sponsorship, promotion of your show, growth. Even if it's just the story of launching, actually, it'd be good to get some more stories of how you've gone about getting your show out there in the first place, what's worked in terms of launches. That'd be great. So you can send them as well to info@thepodcasthost.com if it's a recording, or you can pop on to our Speak Pipe page, which is found over at thepodcasthost.com/contact, and you'll find it there. Alrighty, I think that'll do us for the week.
Yeah, I think so. Shout out to our pal Dave Jackson, by the way. I noticed. We got a wee clip of this very show. I was washing the dishes in my house and suddenly there I was, like, speaking, and I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought I'd press something on my phone and I'd switched episodes. But yeah, big thanks to Dave at School of Podcasting.
Yeah.
For now that we know Dave's listening, we need to take this seriously.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, thanks, Dave.
Yeah, no, that's appreciate that, Dave. And if anybody wants to find Dave's show over there, if you're listening to us but you haven't listened to Dave Jackson before, yeah, schoolofpodcasting.com, I believe.
That's right, yeah.
I'm sure if you just Google School of Podcasting, you'll find it, or School of Podcasting in iTunes as well, you'll find his show, which has been going for years. Dave's an authority in the area, so well worth listening to. But yeah, what about a quick time? What have you been working on this week, Matthew? Any articles you're writing right now that
I put one out the other day there. Mm. It was 8 tips to avoid pod fading. So I suppose it's kind of relevant to what we've talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
Pod fading, it's that term, if you've not heard it before, of somebody launches a podcast and for some reason or another, they just stop doing it. And a lot of that is to do with the planning and preparation.
Yeah.
So I've put 8 tips in there for just basically making sure you're building on solid foundations and that you've got a clear path of where you want to be going. Mm-hmm. And the areas to focus on and the areas that you don't really need to worry so much about,
especially
in the early days. So yeah, hopefully that's really useful to people, not only if you're planning on launching, but maybe if you've launched your show and you're just kind of struggling with it too.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll put links to that in the show notes.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, good question.
Yourself, what have you been?
What have I been doing? I've been
doing the tough mother thing.
I pulled a rib or something. So I'm in pain right now. This week has mainly been designed for the Alitu app, actually. So I've been putting together wireframes for the workflow. So yeah, if you've been listening to either the Numbers Game before our other show, or I think I've mentioned it on Podcraft once or twice, you'll know we're working on an app just now, which is designed to help make podcasting easier. Basically, it'll help you produce a show really quickly, from really simple automation, just turning a basic audio file into a produced branded podcast with just a click of a button, down to some simple editing tools as well, just to help people get shows out there easily and more regularly. So yeah, I've been doing some design on the interface, just figuring out the workflow and everything. It's quite tricky, actually, like figuring out, like going back to basics and figuring out exactly how you do think about putting together a podcast as somebody who's not very experienced. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, we're kind of used to putting it in audition and doing a fair bit of editing and maybe bringing together four or five files, that kind of thing. But if you're just doing a really basic podcast, maybe just a solo record, like a recording like this, I mean, we could just take this recording, put it into, the intention is to put this into the Alitu app, press a button, and it would add the branding and just spit it out the other end. So it's a pretty uncomplicated process. So, but it's yeah, thinking through how people understand that in their heads is quite interesting.
So when this app comes out, you'll have no need for an old school audio editor like me. You Indeed. Could pay me off.
Yeah, you're going to be replaced by robots, my yeah, friend Matthew.
It's the way of the world.
Indeed. All right, well, let's tie it out there. If you want to go to the show notes, pop over to podcraft.net/... Oh, wait a minute. I should have looked at the episode before. We're on episode 4, aren't we? So /804. This is season 8, episode 4. So podcraft.net/804. And just to let you know as well, we're we're currently doing, we're adding a good amount of people into the academy right now. If you want to pop over, if you're looking for more support, you want the courses that we offer. So we've talked about courses before. We do a launch course. We've got interview skills course. We've got Matthew's great equipment courses, as well as Audacity as well. You want to learn how to up your production skills. We've got a range of great how-to courses in the Podcast Host Academy, as well as our live coaching once every 2 weeks as well. So you can get an hour of our time every couple of weeks as well to ask your questions live. And I had a good session last night, actually, where Joseph and Martin popped in and we had a good conversation over the hour. So it was good fun. But yeah, if you want to look into that, that's our kind of our premium content, I suppose. It's an upgrade from the free stuff we put out there. Pop over to thepodcasthost.com/academy and you'll see everything we offer there. But yeah, anyway, that'll do it for the week. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks for your time again, Matthew.
Thank you.
Popping into the studio. And yeah, we'll talk to you next time. Have a good week.